To elections offices in several states, officials say some included traces of fentanyl. The FBI and U.S. Postal Service are investigating. Washington Secretary of State Steve Hobbs.
To the people trying to, you're not disrupting the election, right? You're causing a slight delay. This will be certified. They will be counted. Democracy will prevail. And this domestic terrorism is not going to slow that down.
The FBI has issued a warning to exercise care in handling mail, especially from unrecognized senders, and report anything suspicious immediately. The U.S. Justice Department says it has filed documents in two separate court cases regarding traveling to get an abortion. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum explains.
The legal question is, can a state deprive its residents of the right to travel to states where abortions are legal? The Department of Justice is going on the offensive to resolve that question by pointing to the constitutional right to interstate travel.
The United Nations is expressing cautious optimism to the four-hour daily halt scheduled in fighting Israel has agreed to in its battle with Hamas. UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric suggests,
in order for this to be done safely for humanitarian purposes, it would have to be agreed with all parties to the conflict to be truly effective.
Meantime, in southern Israel earlier today, air sirens sounded and people ran after an unidentified drone hit a building in the port city of Eilat. The Israeli military says it caused light damage. Authorities are still searching for a January 6th suspect who fled his New Jersey home when he was served a warrant. CBS's Wendy Gillette has more.
The FBI is still hunting for 47-year-old Gregory Yetman after he ran from his central New Jersey home and hopped a fence Wednesday morning. The former New Jersey National Guardsman is accused of storming the Capitol on January 6th. The FBI is offering a $10,000 reward for information that leads to Yetman's arrest. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
Two hospitalized sheriff's deputies are fighting for their lives after being ambushed outside Tampa, Florida by a man in a car. CBS's Roxana Saberi has details.
28-year-old Ralph Boozy, who has a violent criminal history, is facing three counts of attempted murder on a law enforcement officer. Deputies were called to the home by the suspect's mother, who told police her son was acting irrational and violent. After police arrived, he left and circled back, then sped toward the deputies. Boozy was tased and taken into custody.
According to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, additional charges against the suspect may be pending. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Exergen thermometers are clinically proven to be more accurate than non-contact thermometers. Exergen is fast, non-invasive, and accurate. Find Exergen thermometers for your home at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more about why accuracy matters at Exergen.com. If you like using debit over credit, don't you think it's time you also get rewarded? Well, now you can with Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cash back on everyday purchases with no fees, period. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Get big savings and big rewards now during Provember at Lowe's. Right now, save $80 on a DeWalt 20-volt two-tool combo kit and earn three times the bonus points. Redeem those points for offers like NFL tickets to regular season games, a Super Bowl 58 experience for two, and more rewards. Because Lowe's knows savings, Lowe's knows pros. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Bonus points calculated before tax and fees after applicable discounts if any. Valid through 11/22, subject to change.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state assembly passed a bevy of election-related bills on Thursday. One of the bills would allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots the day before an election. Governor Evers said that he is ready to sign that bill if it comes to his desk. The assembly also passed a number of proposed constitutional amendments. One of those would ban local governments from using private money to run elections. It's now set to go before voters next year. Meanwhile, Assembly Republican Majority Leader Tyler August sounds open to changes the state Senate has made to the American Family Field Maintenance Bill.
I see no reason why we wouldn't have the votes to be able to concur on that amendment almost immediately and put this issue to bed once and for all.
The amendment increases money from the Milwaukee Brewers and lowers the contribution from state taxpayers. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers headed to Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers working out in pads, getting ready to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by linebacker T.J. Watt. Matt LaFleur on what to expect Sunday.
They pride themselves on physicality, and it shows up all over the tape. They've got a lot of guys that are big, strong, physical, and they made plays, you know, when it matters most.
NBA. Milwaukee squeaked out a win, 120-118. The Bucks versus the Pistons. Giannis Antetokounmpo driving down the court, scores, makes a face at a Pistons player, ejected from the game. Giannis in disbelief. So was his teammate Damian Lillard.
I think it was a character building win. When you down your best player in that type of moment where, you know, it's, you get a technical foul and then you get another technical foul and it was their ball. You know, it's just when it rains, it pours. You know, we had techs. It was their ball. They had momentum. They was confident making shots. Even though we had a lead, the game was changing. And we know in this league, leads go away quick.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard.
With Seth Beer, host of Seth Faces the Music, which totally makes sense. It's on every Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR. Each week, I pick a theme and play a bunch of songs related to that theme. And this week, I'm doing songs about the color green. So join me, won't you? And we'll face the music together.
Thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, I just got back from Washington, D.C. this afternoon, and I can tell you all about it. Had a great trip. I went to the Senate Finance Committee. They had me, one tax law expert from NYU, a law professor, two Republican witnesses, but even they seemed relatively sane most of the time. And it went pretty well. I was, of course, on Senator Wyden's side. He's concerned about the buy, borrow, die strategy, where people like are really rich and just withdraw money from their brokerage account and let it go negative and don't actually sell anything. Because the thing is, if you have a lot of stock in your brokerage account, which rich people tend to do, you don't pay taxes based on the money you withdraw. You pay taxes based on the stock you sell. And that might have nothing to do with each other. For most people, they're pretty related. You sell stock, you withdraw the money. For the really rich people, you can withdraw the money and sell the stock the next day, the next year, the next century, or after you die. And so that's what the senators, several of the senators are concerned about, is the fact that people make money from their stock going up. That's great. We're all for that. And they spend the money. That's good too. But they never pay any income taxes on it. And the thing which I had to explain to them is that if you're really rich, you don't need any income. You can just spend money without having any of what we define as income.
And how do you do that? I mean, you know, I've watched some of these videos with the guy, the rich dad, poor dad guy, who said what you've said. He goes, look, you know, rich people, they don't have income. They don't go to a job. They have passive income. They have portfolio income, but they don't work for a living. They don't go out there swinging a hammer or driving a truck and collecting a paycheck at the end of the week. So how do you, you know, if you've got all these stocks and you haven't realized any of that income, how do you exist?
Well, I'll tell you. Let's say you put $100,000 into Apple years back. Let's say that Apple stock is now worth $1 million. So I've made $900,000, the way most people would think about it. As far as the IRS is concerned, though, I haven't made a penny.
Right.
I haven't sold the Apple stock. But I can withdraw money from my brokerage account. I can withdraw $500,000 from my brokerage account. And as far as they're concerned, I have $1 million in Apple stock, negative $500,000 in cash. It's below zero. So I owe them $500,000. And they're fine with that. You know? And then the interest just keeps accruing. So the month later, maybe I owe them $501,000. And a month after that, $502,000. But as long as the Apple stock keeps going up in value by more than that, they're fine with that. It works fine.
Yeah.
I never have any quote unquote income because I never actually sell anything. I just withdraw money against it. Kind of like if you could do a cash out refi of a mortgage. You don't sell the house, but you can still get money. So it's kind of like I do a cash out refi of my stock every month. I mean, I don't really do that every month, but in theory, I could.
You could, yeah. But you know, now, so you're going to pay interest on that money that you're taking out. Do you get to write that off on your taxes? Interest.
You don't. Well, yes, you do. First of all, you do get to write that off. And secondly, you don't actually pay it. They just increase the amount you owe them every month.
Okay.
So as long as the stock goes up more than the amount that the interest and the amount you withdraw, they're fine with that. It could go on for the rest of your life. And then after you die, then they sell the stock, but your heirs don't pay any income tax on that either because it's a tax-free due to some step-up basis rules. So with all that money I make on the stock, assuming I don't sell it and I eventually die, which most people eventually do, I heard, it's never taxed, not to me, not to my heirs, not to anybody. It's just never taxable income. And that's the basic thing we were talking about today. And most of the senators who talked about it agree. This is kind of ridiculous that we have these rich people who don't pay any taxes. And so Senator Wyden has come up with some proposals to change that, to make people of over $1 billion of assets, which are only a couple thousand people in the whole country, make those people pay taxes on the money they make, whether or not they sell their stock. So I'll tell you, a bunch of the senators came in to talk. Senator Warner suggested that maybe we should charge them tax if they borrow money against it, but not otherwise. A few of the senators spent their entire talking time talking about the customer service of the IRS, and they don't have enough people to answer the phones and things like that. One Republican senator, Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee.
Oh, talked. Do I want to know this? Do I want to know what crazy Marsha had to say? Yeah, I guess I do.
Okay, I'll tell you. She said that the IRS is doing a poor job auditing people. They went to her state. They audited a bunch of her constituents that came to complain to her. And they even told the constituents they had overpaid their taxes and they sent them checks. So she thinks that's a sign the IRS is incompetent.
What?
I would suggest maybe if the people getting checks were probably happy about that.
Yeah, I think so.
So I don't know why they were complaining to their senator that the government was sending them this check.
I got to tell you, I would bet my, and I'm not a betting person, but I'd bet my last dollar that that's an anecdotal story. That she knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who told the story about that.
Could be. She wasn't under oath. So I don't know. That's how it went. And surprisingly enough, of all the senators, Bill Cassidy was on our side. He was saying he thinks this is ridiculous. And what he said is that these people who do this, well, someone was talking about like how many taxpayers there are in the top 1% and the top 0.01% and stuff. And he says the people who do this strategy, they're not even counted on that list because they don't pay much taxes at all.
Right.
So they wouldn't be in the top 1% for income. And he sounded like he was on our side. I talked later to Senator Wyden's staff. They said they're already on the case of contacting his staff to see if he wants to sign up to help on this. So I think we might have an unexpected ally, Bill Cassidy from Louisiana. One of the highlights was when Elizabeth Warren walked into the room kind of everybody, like all of a sudden, this was after this was two hours after we'd started, and people were kind of slumping a little bit. And but then Elizabeth Warren walked into the room and sat in her seat. And they, a lot of the senators, they only come when it's their turn to speak.
Right.
They don't hang around the whole time. Well, I mean, some don't show up at all, but the ones who do show up mostly just come when it's their turn to speak. She came, everyone sort of looked up and sat up straight and looked perky and just had this feeling that everyone was looking at her, you know?
Yeah,
and she gave a couple minute speech about how it's ridiculous that billionaires are getting so rich and other people are falling behind. It's so much is unfair. So we
get that. So what's the answer here? I mean, you know, I read some of the stuff. I caught a couple of minutes of the different clips and stuff. So what's the answer here? I mean, you know, we've known this. This isn't new, Morris. This is stuff that we've talked about before. None of this is new. What's the answer? And is there a path forward? Is, you know, is Cassidy, you know, being on this side helpful? You know, you got to get the 60 votes in the Senate. You got a crazy Republican House. What's the way forward?
Well, that's a good point. Getting 60 votes, I don't know, but I think we're a lot further ahead than we were when I wrote the Tax the Rich book that explained these same problems.
Right.
Then this was considered a pretty crazy off-the-wall idea when we presented that, you know, when you were in Washington, D.C. at that conference a couple of years back in April.
Yeah.
Now, we have the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee on our side. We have the president of the United States on our side. We have, you know, a bunch of people in the House on our side. Not the majority, of course, because it's run by crazy Republicans. But so I think we've moved a lot further. Have we won? No, we haven't won. But a lot of things take time.
Yeah.
You know, the Civil Rights Act took decades through the 50s that, you know, filibustered here, there, and everywhere until, you know, it was during my lifetime when it passed. I think major changes take some time. I think we're getting public opinion on our side. According to Senator Wyden, when he goes to town halls, people are complaining about rich people not paying their taxes. I was kind of surprised at that, because he's the only one who's mentioned that, but I'll take his word for it. So I think we're making progress. Is this bill going to pass the House? No. We'd even have trouble in the previous House with the Democrats leading it.
Right.
When Richard Neal was chairman of Ways and Means, he wasn't in favor of raising anybody's taxes.
Which is insane to me. But here's the thing, and this is where, as you laid out what you were talking about in the hearing and here a second ago, when you tell that story to average everyday working people, much like, you know, I say, you know, one of the big successes of the UAW strike is that they went out, you know, to the general public and said, hey, look, here's what our members are earning. This is the lifestyle that, you know, that they're making on, you know, 15 some dollars an hour. This is not the gold standard of employment that it used to be. But you've got CEOs who have taken $1 billion in compensation over the last decade. You've got an industry that's made $250 billion in profit off of our labor. And they're not sure. And people responded to that. I think the more you tell that story of, look, you got people who, you know, they're doing well in the game of Wall Street. They're making lots of money. They're paying no taxes on it. That's a huge thing, I think.
I think you're right. I think it's the unfairness aspect that really riles people up and moves public opinion. And that's the point. That's the case that we're making. Like, it doesn't really affect your life whether Elon Musk pays more or less taxes. It might affect his life, but it won't really affect his life either. Tell you the truth, he's so rich.
No,
but it wouldn't really affect you and me at all. But it's just so unfair that some people make so much money.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
We're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Guess what? You asked for it and you got it. The oldest furnace contest is back.
Tri-City Services is giving away a free furnace to the winner of the oldest furnace contest. Whoever has the oldest working furnace in the Wisconsin Rapids area will win a free furnace. Yes, a free furnace. What are the rules, you ask? Well, entrants must own and reside in their home in the Wisconsin Rapids area. The furnace must be functional and the main heat source for your house. Pretty easy. So take a picture of that old dinosaur furnace and enter online at calltricity.com. Contest ends November 30th, so hurry. Enter your dinosaur furnace in the oldest furnace contest at Tri-City Services. Restrictions apply. Enter online at calltricity.com before November 30th.
You're not comfortable until
from the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Heard that from him, or was this just a one-off hearing where we got a couple more people on the side and, well, we'll see in a couple elections?
Well, President Biden certainly talks about this. It was part of his budget proposal, and not this exact bill, but a fairly similar bill to say that people have to pay taxes on their capital gains before they sell their stock. So I think it's certainly part of what President Biden is running on. I think there's a problem because some Democrats are afraid. They're afraid of being accused of, oh, you're raising everyone's taxes, from the Republicans, even if they only want to raise taxes of a few thousand of the richest people in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't want our taxes raised. They're trying to make middle-class Americans, they're trying to make Americans who work for a living feel like they have more in common with the billionaires than about the people who are working just a little bit harder than they are.
That's
what we have to do, is the people that make $20 an hour have more in common with people that make $15 an hour than they do with Elon Musk. And that's what we have to explain to them.
Amen. Good stuff. And you guys are doing great work. I hope folks will check out your website, patrioticmillionaires.org. We'll get links out on social media. Morris, as always, great talking with you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Great to talk to you.
Let's take a quick break. Right back after this with your thoughts. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
You know, the tax issue is one of those things, not very sexy, not something that gets, a lot of attention, but I think extremely important. And when you talk about, these issues in those frames, the fairness frame, that is something I think is really important. And when you lay it out like that, you got these rich people who are worth $1 billion paying a lower tax rate or no taxes. And being one of that Mitt Romney's 47%, those people who don't pay federal taxes. Now, look, they do pay a lot of state taxes and they do pay a lot of sales taxes because they consume stuff. But I'll tell you, they figure out how to get around all that. And that's really been how we've created a massive wealth class. And so I was having this conversation today of, using policy and the tax code and how, you know, over decades, the moneyed interests continue to get whatever it is they want, whenever they want it, however they want it. And working people keep getting stiffed, which is why, again, they keep pushing us at divisive stuff. Who's marrying who? Who's going to what bathroom? You know, stuff that there isn't a solution for. Because they know if we can keep people eating each other, they're not going to focus on the fact that you're getting robbed blind. And look, this is bipartisan, the kind of anger. You know, I said, yesterday, and I got a couple of emails from people who are like, you know, you're comparing the Occupy Wall Street people and the Tea Party. That's not fair to, you know, whichever side they were on. And I said, look, the reality is they were both angry about the same stuff. Rich people are screwing them on both extremes, the right and the left, and in the center. Don't forget them. So for me, there's an opportunity here. I think what Morris and his group are doing with the Great Economy Project is important. Getting out into communities and talking to people and explaining this stuff, because it's complicated. It's really complicated when you get down into how it is that Donald Trump avoids paying taxes, how it is that, you know, him overinflating his properties benefits him, or underinflating benefits him, or doing both simultaneously benefits him. And who does it hurt? Well, it's a victimless crime, right, Rick? No. Those are dollars that aren't going into the coffers that fund the things that we need: infrastructure, education, healthcare, social safety net programs for our veterans and our homeless, and for our seniors and for children. All of the things that don't get the funding that we need being hoarded by a handful. And I go back to, you know, the first Forbes 400 had two billionaires on it. In today's dollars, two. We now have, what, 1,500? And they're not just one or two billionaires. You know, they're worth hundreds of billions. It's one of those things that, at what point do you then get upset about it and then want to act on it? Now, as I said the other day, when we had a high top marginal tax rate, that wealth was spread a little more equally. Not completely equally, but we had a high tax rate, which meant, you know, people didn't want to give money to the government, so they invested in libraries and in schools and in hospitals, paid their workers better. They did all kinds of things. So, you know, for me, that's the part of this that's important. A tax code that you know doesn't take everybody's wealth, but, you know, I got to tell you, gives people the opportunity to get ahead. Let's before the break, get Chad on line one. Chad, how are you?
Good to talk to you again, Rick. It's been a while.
Yep, quick. I got 2 minutes.
Okay, this thing about Trump not paying his taxes, come on, man. Weren't you watching the big Rachel Maddow reveal show when it showed, she had the big tax scam all lined up, and then she goes on the air to actually show how much he actually paid in taxes? Now, that's the one extreme. Second extreme, I'm a blue-collar guy, and I'll do whatever I can and take advantage of whatever tax loopholes
sure.
I can
and
to save a dollar.
Chad, I'm not. I said from the beginning, and I've said all along, Trump did what was legal. The thing is he didn't want anybody to see, one, how little money he does have and where he was getting these things. My problem is not with Trump. My problem is not with the individual billionaires. My problem is with the system that allows them to be able to game the system to where they pay less taxes than you do.
Well, it's fair enough to that point. But if you look at what the actual millionaires or people in that 1%, what they're paying, I believe they're paying about 38 or 40% of the actual federal taxes.
36 is the top rate.
Okay. So
Minus all of their deductions and all the other stuff that they do.
Well, sure, but I'm well below them, and I make the same deductions. So,
No, you don't.
I think it's...
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Investigators are looking into a series of potentially deadly and targeted attacks on election workers across the country. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
Workers in some of those offices were processing ballots from Tuesday's election, and in some cases, the buildings were evacuated, interrupting the counting of votes.
Israel agrees to implement a daily pause for humanitarian purposes in its fight against Hamas in Gaza. CBS's Weijia Zhang reports.
This will be every day, a period of 4 hours a day where Israeli military operations will pause.
President Biden stops in Belvedere, Illinois, along the Illinois-Wisconsin state line to mark the reopening of a Stellantis plant and the end of the United Auto Workers strike, the longest in 25 years.
American workers are ready to work harder than anybody else, but they just need to be given a shot, a fair shot and a fair wage. That's not too much to ask.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Enrollment is up at the Universities of Wisconsin for the first time since 2014. The system is out with its numbers for the first 10 days of the school year. It says there are 1,700 more students enrolled than last year. There are now a little more than 162,000 students enrolled at state universities in Wisconsin. 10 of 13 four-year schools are seeing increases, but enrollment at two-year branch campuses is down again. Officials with the Biden administration were in Wausau this week to praise how they're quickly and aggressively addressing PFAS contamination. Senior Biden advisor Tom Perez went to see the city's new water treatment plant on Thursday. Wausau is set to receive nearly $6 million in federal funds to replace lead service lines. Perez said that mayors across the country should be looking at Wausau to learn how to address the forever chemicals. Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 29 tonight under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 39 tomorrow, cloudy. Lows around 26 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
This message is for Shana, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Sunsets in a decade. So by 2027, any benefit that you have gotten goes away, and it actually flips and gets worse to where you end up having to pay it back. But corporate tax rates, those are permanent. The tax rates for the very wealthy, those are permanent. And understand where when people talk about the golden age of America, you know, everyone go the 1950s and 1960s, you know, jobs were plentiful. We were paying for our wars. We weren't in debt. We had paid World War II off. We had Korea. We had Vietnam. We were flush. We were investing in an enormous infrastructure. We were making education possible. We gave a generation of white men a whole bunch of money to buy houses and get education and do all kinds of things through the GI Bill. We were doling it out because we were taxing rich people at a much, much higher rate. And the other day we had our friend Mateus Vernengo on, and his example is right. You know, think of the Gilded Age and all the rich people that you knew of that era. You know, we all know the names, the Rothschilds, the Vanderbilts, the Morgans, the Carnegies. We all know those names. We know the robber barons. Today, they're 1,500 billionaires, so everyone knows one. Everyone knows the name of one. We all know Musk and Bezos and Buffett and Gates and the six Waltons. We all know those names too. But go into the 60s, 1950s, 60s, 70s. You know who were those rich people? Who were those robber barons? And he says you can't name them. I mean, there was Howard Hunt, and there were maybe a couple of names of rich people that you thought of, but they were nowhere near the Gilded Age wealth that we're seeing now and back then. And it has everything to do with the tax code and a redistribution of wealth. And yeah, I'm more than willing to use that word. I used it during the Tea Party uprisings when people said, you wanted to redistribute wealth. I go, yeah, I do. The way it was when my grandparents' generation were working. Where you had jobs that could, a single income could support a family. Where you had, opportunity to go on to college and not take on a lifetime of debt. You were able to go as far as your talents would take you. But now we're in this Hunger Games scenario where, the wealthy are going, hey, I know there were 10 cookies on the plate and we grabbed 9 of them and you better look out because that guy over there is going to get your cookie. And I've always said, look, they may have all the money, but we've out-procreated them. There are more of us, and we should be voting. But they're masters of division. Look, I don't blame Trump for taking a tax break that's there. I don't. I blame the fact that there are politicians who put that tax break there. That is the point. It's not, we're always talking about individuals. And not about the policy that allows these people to take advantage of this stuff and also redistribute wealth away from work. The fact that we tax work at a higher rate than we tax capital gains is kind of crazy. And I know, we need rich people because they're smart and they know what to do, and they're the job creators, we're told. And I fundamentally disagree with that argument. The job creators are us, the people in every community who have an idea of how they want to live their lives and start a business or the spending that we make in our local communities. It's not some rich guy making choices in a CEO suite. And where I'm frustrated in this moment is I see us divided. But when you talk about these economic issues, when you're talking about how do we get to a point where we're ensuring that, look, no kid goes to bed hungry. No veteran goes to bed on the streets. Granny doesn't have to eat cat food. That we have, you know, cutting edge technology and infrastructure. You know, we want to thump our chests and say we're number one. We want to say we're the greatest country in the world. I'm sorry, but having the largest number of billionaires doesn't make us the greatest country in the world. Having wealth distributed into the hands of a few at the cost of the many doesn't make us great. And I say this every time, and I've said this a number of times on the show. I'm sure people have heard this. Look, every time a president takes office, I wish that they are the person who returns reward to work. That they're the folks who, you know, Ronald Reagan once said that, you know, the best anti-poverty program is a job. And I've amended that saying the best anti-poverty program is a union job, one with living wages, with retirement and health security, with job security, with opportunity. That's the best anti-poverty program. And that's what we should be focusing on. And this is where, again, I go back to Biden. I think he's on the right page in that. And I'm going to keep fighting for that because I think he's right. Now, you go, well, Trump, he said all these things. Yeah. All the things that he said on infrastructure, all the things he said on manufacturing, all the things he said on trade, I am behind. Working people are behind. The problem is it was all talk. The problem is how many infrastructure weeks did we have? 100? I mean, I remember a lot of pictures. I remember a lot of Rose Garden I remember a lot of ceremony. I remember, you know, shovels and hats. I remember all kinds of stuff. But what I don't remember is him actually building the infrastructure. I remember a lot of talk on trade policy. And to his credit, and I do give him credit for making some reasonable changes to NAFTA, I would have liked to have seen more. But there are some good things that Democrats got put in there as well, along with the labor movement. And the credit I give him is I think he's the only one who could have gotten that done. Because there's no Republican that would have done it. But my problem keeps coming back to this idea that it was all talk. I remember, you know, right after his inauguration, I came on the show and I said, look, if he's serious about that $3 trillion infrastructure package, I'm 100% behind it. If he does that, he's unbeatable for re-election because that money is going to filter through every community in this country. That money is going to create jobs all across this country. And all it was talk. Now, here's the other part of this. And I also remember saying this back then as well. It won't be done with prevailing wage. It won't be done with labor protections like we're seeing out of the Biden administration. So when you look at the two from a purely worker issue standpoint, there is no comparison. Joe Biden is the better of the two candidates, without question, hands down. Because everything that he has done, every legislation that they've passed, every investment that they've made has been making communities better, making work rewarded, and helping families build. I think that's important stuff. So when I talk about the tax code, and I have, you know, rich guys like Morris Pearl come on, because Morris is probably one of the wealthiest people I know, and he's telling us, hey, the game is rigged. Hey, working people. Hey, stupid. Wake up. We're screwing you. And look, does Morris take those deductions? Yeah, of course he does. He'd be stupid not to. And this is the reason that I have Morris on so often, is because I think it's important to hear a rich guy, a guy who's worth, you know, several hundred million dollars, saying, look, I don't do any work. I sit and I look at numbers. I collect dividends. I'm a rich guy. I should be the target. And I'm advocating for these changes because here's the thing. Here's what he knows. He knows there's a point at which the anger then becomes real and targeted at people like him. And then we end up in a situation like some third world countries where he's going to have to, you know, barricade him in some, himself and his family in some encampment to stop from being kidnapped. Nobody wants that. So, you know, when Morris comes on and talks about, you know, hey, we need to tax rich people like me, it's not out of benevolence. It's out of wanting to have a safe society, wanting to have something to pass along to his children, and not wanting to have to barricade himself in inside his four walls. Now, is you know, radical self-interest something that we're shocked by? No, of course not. And I've said it before, look, I would take all those deductions too. Now, on the Trump side, there were a lot of deductions as a working person that I used to take before. Can't do it anymore. Work boots and, you know, work clothing and, you know, gloves and, you know, stuff that you need for work, union dues, any association fees, all that stuff gone. Can't deduct that anymore. I know, he gave us a higher personal income deduction that as the years go on erodes. But hey, we got some trinkets up front. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Lots to get to. Right back after this.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1935. The Committee for Industrial Organizations was created by 8 unions as part of the American Federation of Labor. United Mine Workers President John L. Lewis was the driving force behind this new committee. His aim was to organize mass production industrial workers as opposed to focusing on those in the skilled trades. While the American Federation of Labor had included some industrial unions, the craft unionists were the dominant force in the organization. The Great Depression had hit industrial workers and their unions hard. Leaders from the heavily affected unions pressed for more support from the AFL. In response, the AFL did authorize organizing drives in the automobile, rubber, and steel industries, but they gave little financial support or effective leadership to those unions. Matters came to a head at the AFL's 1935 convention when Mine Workers President John L. Lewis punched the president of the Carpenters Union. Afterwards, Lewis called together various industrial union leaders, including Sidney Hillman, head of the Amalgamated Clothing Workers, and Harvey Fremming of the Oil Workers Union, to discuss the creation of the CIO. In its statement of purpose, the CIO declared its aim to encourage the AFL to organize by industry. However, the AFL's leadership was not sympathetic to what they saw as an internal rivalry. In 1936, the AFL suspended all of the CIO unions. This led to the industrial union's breakaway from the AFL to form a rival federation. The CIO changed its name to the Congress of Industrial Organizations. By 1938, the CIO had amassed 3 million members. The CIO ran successful organizing drives in auto, mining, meatpacking, and steel. The two union organizations finally remerged in 1955, forming what is known today as the AFL-CIO. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So, more information coming out about Clarence Thomas. And again, this is another one of those rich people thing. They've got lots of money. lots of money. And they dole it out. And it's amazing You know, I've said before, I've got friends in who've served in Congress, and they all tell the same story. No one's ever bought my vote. No one's ever bought my vote, but they get my ear 15 minutes at a time because they've got to go dialing for dollars.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and copays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Off the books, and now we find out he didn't pay it back. Don't worry, we're friends. And what's interesting to me is we're now finding out what I've known for years, because I remember seeing that RV on 60 Minutes going, how's a Supreme Court justice afford that thing? That's a lot of money for a guy who was a public servant throughout his entire career. Never really made the big money that you see Roberts and Alito and Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett making. He worked various government jobs. He was the head of the EEOC, which is how he got himself into a little bit of trouble with Anita Hill, and we won't get into that. But I'm going, how does a guy who has been, you know, on the government paycheck all these years afford a $267,000 RV just to go tooling around on his week on his vacation? We now know billionaires are taking care of him. And I know, you didn't buy his vote. And this is true. I am not alleging that there was a quid pro quo, that I'm giving you this money so that you will vote this way on this issue. I've never said that, and I will never say that. What I am saying is, you know, like my friend said, you didn't buy my vote, but you get my ear 15 minutes at a time. Do you think the guy who lent Clarence Thomas $267,230, do you think Clarence takes his phone call? Do you think when he just wants to wax philosophic, wants to share some insight on the topic of the day, do you think Clarence is going to debate him? Of course not. And this is where you go, you didn't buy his vote, you bought him. And I've said this for the longest time. The Federalist Society, the people that Trump chose his judges from, they groom their people from, I would argue, from high school forward, but at least college forward. They do a really good job to where it's not about buying their vote. It's about you already know how they're going to vote before the issue ever comes to them, because you have groomed them throughout the entire process. And you've done it the same way the CIA grooms their assets. We had John Perkins on the program, the guy who wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and he walked through this. It's women and money, man. It's the fast high life. It's what billionaires understand. They throw a little cash around and people jump. It's like herding cats. The only way you herd cats is putting food on the table. And then they all come running. So I'm looking at all of this money and this wealth and all of these favors and these vacations and all of this just obnoxious stuff that our Supreme Court justice has gotten himself in. His wife, who's deep into right-wing politics, who is funded by every crazy right-wing billionaire. You go, explain to me why there isn't a hearing on this, but Hunter Biden, you know, we're crazy about. And what I find really funny is evidently James Comer, the guy who's been like the chief, bulldog, the guy who's been all over this, turns out he's got some shady dealings himself. Evidently, he also paid his brother $200,000. We're now finding out all kinds of interesting, fun, and entertaining things. That Comer and his own brother engaged in land swaps. One of the deals involved $200,000. And a shell company. Wow! Say it isn't so. And again, you know, what's this saying? If that's not a pot calling the kettle black, that's what this is. But will it matter? And this is where you start going, you know, people in glass houses. Now, I've said from the beginning, if they have a smoking gun where Biden took money from the Chinese government, yeah, we got problems. But there's no smoking gun. There's nothing there. What this is truly the Trump witch hunt. And Trump has already told us, if he is elected president, expect all of this to happen. If he is elected president, expect retribution. Expect payback. Does that scare you? Does it concern you that we're now fully down that road? They've already said their 2025 plan is all about patronage. We're only going to hire true blue loyalists. And they're going to go with Schedule F, and they're going to fire all the government employees, and they're going to bring in, you know, their true blue red hats. You know, good governance be damned. Getting things done for the American people, not even an afterthought. And as I've said a million times, I want boring bureaucrats running our government. I want people who show up, who have the expertise to do the work that we need to get done so we get the results that we need. I'm not a fan of big government or small government. I want effective government. I want our government to do the things that we individually cannot do. Pave roads, provide health care, educate a populace, do those things, defend the country. But when we got someone running on the platform of retribution, and look, he's talking about a talk show host as his VP. One heartbeat away from the presidency, you're going to have Schmucker Carlson. Are you not concerned for the direction of the country? Are you not concerned that nobody paid attention to the Republican debate? And I love what Rona McDaniel, who I think is going to go back to Romney. I think very soon Rona McDaniel is going back to Rona Romney. Rona Romney. I think she's going to go back to Rona Romney. I'll say it once, right? Who when asked, you know, about the infighting, said, well, it's not helpful. Yeah, it's not helpful. But again, we've got real problems that we're not dealing with. And there's literally nobody in the House who's trying. And this is my problem. We're speeding towards a shutdown. You know, before Thanksgiving. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. And with no end in sight. Because you have ideologues who will burn the House down. And look, this is by design because they believe Democrats are going to cave. They believe Democrats are going to give them everything they want. All they have to do is threaten to burn the House down. They've constantly threatened to shoot the hostage, and Democrats have constantly gone, no, don't shoot the hostage. Whatever you want. No, we'll put the gun down. Maybe this time they won't. And what does that mean for us? We elect people to do a job to get results, not to hold us hostage. And I know Republicans are just pining for recession. Could this be part of that?
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Four county election offices in Washington state were evacuated yesterday after they received envelopes containing suspicious powders. Two tested positive for